Welcome back to the final message in the series, Wish You Were Here. The whole point of the series is to encourage you to step out and walk in the promises that God has made to you already. And so, first of all, we have to know what the promises are, which is why I'm always telling you, get into the Bible, find out what God says about who you are. Like, read, ask God to show you when you're reading the Bible. You've got to know what the promises are. Then you have to know that they're for you and that they're for today. But we've been spending the last 4 weeks prior to today on what I believe is the biggest promise in the Bible. And it's Exodus 6, chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, where God speaks to the nation of Israel and says, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. I will free you from being slaves to them, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. So here are the four promises that are just so powerful. It's this tremendous truth that we are called to embrace and live in. Number one, that God will bring us out from under the oppression of the enemy. This is what Jesus did in breaking the curse of sin. And for us, that's a moment of salvation. This is the promise that God saves us from the enemy. The second one where it says, I will free you from being slaves to them. That means that even though we may have been in slavery and he takes us out, that's that promise of salvation. The promise of deliverance is, I will walk with you as you walk away from the hurts, the wounds, and the mindsets of slavery from when you were lost. It's deliverance. And then the third promise, it says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. And in other words, as you keep walking with Jesus further and further away from the place of bondage, he begins to take all of the painful, horrible, shameful things from the past, and he turns them around for good in the long run. And then the last promise, which was the promise of fulfillment, which is, I will take you as my own people and I'll be your God. That we get to be a part of God's family, not just a son or a daughter, but we have brothers and sisters because we're part of something that's much bigger than ourselves. And fulfillment doesn't come from getting everything we want. It comes from, like Jesus, giving ourselves for others. These are amazing promises: salvation, deliverance, redemption and restoration, and then fulfillment. But here's the thing. When you begin to walk on the path and walk out the promises that God has for you, you can be assured of this. The enemy will attack, absolutely without question. In fact, in John 10:10, we see this truth, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus said that. But then he also says this, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus' purpose is for you to walk in fulfillment as you follow him. But he also is aware that the tactic of the enemy is to kill, to steal, to destroy. But look at what God speaks to us in Isaiah 59, verses 19 and 20. He says, for he will come like a raging flood driven by the breath of the Lord. The Redeemer, he's talking about Jesus, will come to Jerusalem to buy back those in Israel who have turned for their sins. So even though there's a raging tide of the enemy, guess what? Jesus is there to deliver. And that's his heart for you, to walk in that deliverance, to know that when the enemy attacks, that you're going to be okay. He wants you to live in victory, and that's what we're talking about today. Living in the place of victory. So, how do we live in the place of victory? What do we have to know to live in the place of victory? Here's what we've got to know. Here's the first thing. You have to know what victory is. Victory is peace maintained. And the only way that you are going to get peace in your life is when you allow Jesus in. You stop trying to control everything. You let all of that go, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And you say, Jesus, it's all yours. Isaiah 26:3 says this, you will keep in perfect peace who whose mind is set on you because they trust in you. And when you trust Jesus with everything you are, everything you have, not just, look, a lot of people want to trust Jesus with the bad because you don't want it. But are you willing to trust him with the good? Are you willing to trust him with your finances? Are you willing to trust him with your relationships? You got to know what victory is. Victory is peace maintained. And if there's any area of control, let me just remind you that all control is fear-based. When you are trying to control things or control people, You're operating in fear, not faith. God's called you to be a good steward, so don't confuse that that means that we don't ever do anything. No, we steward what God has placed before us, recognizing that it's all His and we're just a steward. But victory, that comes through Jesus. That comes from the Lord because He's the source of all peace. Here's the second thing that victory is. We got to know that victory has already been won. It's already been won. It's been done. Exodus 6:6 is true. I'll bring you out. I'll free you from being slaves. I'll redeem you. I'll take you as my own people. Like, God has already moved. All of this is a promise that is already, it's happened. He's simply waiting for you to embrace it so that it can be activated. Like, you have to know that the battle's been won. So many Christians live in defeat. Like, the war's won, but like, because they're in the middle of a small battle, they feel like they've lost. No. Jesus did it. We just have to trust Him through all of it. So if you're gonna live in victory, you've got to know what it is. It's the peace of God in our life because He's supreme. He's on the throne and we're following Him. That it's already been won. And here's the third thing. God's promises hold true. I'll bring you out. I'll free you from being slaves. I'll redeem you. I'll take you as my own people. I'll be your God. Interesting, the last sentence of this promise. Then you will know that I'm the Lord your God who brought you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians. You'll never know the fullness of God until you walk in the promises of God. And the only way that you're going to walk in the promises of God is when you step out and put them to the test. That's a faith issue. How do you know that something's true? You put it to the test. And so many people know about the promises of God, but they don't walk in freedom and victory because they're not walking in the promises of God, which means you gotta put them to the test. That means you gotta embrace the journey that He has for you. So that's enough about how do we live in victory. We gotta know what it means. We gotta know that it's already been won, but we know that we are required to put them to the test by living them out, walking them out. So, what do we do when we come under attack? When it seems like all hell's broken loose and you're like, God, I thought I was given these great promises that I'm for you, I'm not against you. I can go through the main three promises that God's given me in my three life verses, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. He'll direct your path. Well, there have been lots of moments where I'm going, Lord, where in the heck are we going? Because I'm confused. I don't know. I thought you gave me that life verse. He did. He's reminding me to trust Him. There's peace in that. Don't try and figure it out myself. Acknowledge, I need you, Lord. My second life verse, Jeremiah 29:11. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, not for calamity and destruction, but to give you a future and hope. But there have been many times that I've been in a situation that was full of calamity and destruction. How do you handle that? What do you do when it seems like the promises aren't coming true in that moment? That's what we're going to talk about. And here's the third promise God gave me, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work into good. Sometimes bad things look like bad things. But I'm not at the end of that promise yet. Keep walking. What do we do when we're under attack? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at 2 Kings chapter 6. And I want to use this scripture as a basis for what God, I really believe, has given us just a key on what we do when we're under attack and the promises seem like they're not going to come true. And so here we are. And in 2 Kings 6, we see that the king of Aram is out to destroy the nation of Israel. This is important that you understand that this king, the king of Aram, wants Israel destroyed. But every time he goes to attack, God has already spoken to Elisha, the prophet, and has told Elisha the plans of the enemy. And so Elisha goes to the king and says, hey, the Lord told me that the enemy is going to attack here, and this is what he's going to do, so you need to get your army ready and meet him there. And so the king of Aram gets so frustrated that every time he's making his battle plans in secret and they go to execute them, the nation of Israel is prepared for the fight because God's already showed Elisha and Elisha's told the king, so they're ready for the fight. In fact, the king of Aram gets so frustrated, he says this. He says, talking to his army officers, which of you is the traitor? Who's been informing the king of Israel of my plans? And their response is, it's not us, my lord the king. Elisha the prophet in Israel tells the king of Israel even the words you speak in the privacy of your bedroom. And so the king of Aram is now on a mission to kill Elisha. It's interesting what happens next, because Elisha, turns out, is going to be at this small town, at Dothan. And the king of Aram's spies find out, so the king of Aram shows up with his whole army at Dothan to kill Elisha. It's interesting that God spoke to Elisha about the enemy being there for coming for the nation, but when it pertained to him, God didn't say nothing. You ever feel like that? Like God's speaking to other people and like warning them and helping them, and you're like, for real, Lord? What's the deal? There's a key in here, and it's the key of it's not about you. God wanted to do something in somebody through all of this. So here's what happens. They find out that Elisha's at Dothan, and under the darkness of night, the whole army surrounds this small village. And in the morning, the first person up, it's not Elisha, it's his servant, it's his right-hand guy. It says, when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops, horses, and chariots everywhere. So this young man wakes up and sees the enemy army at his gates. And he's got to know that's a bad thing. And so he runs to Elisha. He says, oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. I mean, it's like a normal response, right? Oh, my gosh, the enemy that we've been ratting out because God told us, like we've been telling the king so that we can be prepared and we're not destroyed. Now that whole army is here for us, this little tiny village. He's freaking out. But what Elisha speaks to him next, he speaks to him three things. And it's such a great lesson for us in understanding what to do when it seems like the promises aren't going to come true. This is what Elisha tells him. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. So what do we do when we feel like the promises aren't coming true? Like God's nowhere to be found. Like imagine this young man. He was front and center. He's with Elijah when Elijah would go tell the king that the enemy's about to show up. The enemy's about to show up. But when it became personal and now he's involved, like God never said a word. But Elisha speaks to him this truth, don't be afraid. What does God say to us when we are under attack, when it seems like the promises ain't happening? Don't be afraid. The opposite of faith is not doubt. The opposite of faith is fear. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't try and figure it out yourself. You need to acknowledge, Lord, you are at work in all of this, and I'm going to trust you. He'll show you what to do. By the way, that's my number one life verse, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, guys. When the enemy shows up, the promises look like they're not there, like they're falling apart. Don't be afraid. Then Elijah says this to him. He says, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Do you know that? Because this is my second point. What does God say to us when we're under attack? Hey, there's more with you than you realize. And there's a whole lot more with you than on the enemy's side. So don't freak out. God is with you and God is for you. And listen to me, when you begin to cry out like this young man did to Elisha, to the people in your life that you know that you can trust, that love the Lord and hear from him, and you go, this is what I'm going through. It's amazing how that encouragement can change everything. Because if you don't have people that can speak to you and go, hey, I know this is bad. I know that diagnosis seems terrible. I know that this financial crisis seems like it's going to rock everything about your world. I know that this relationship was so important to you. But, and then they begin to speak God's truth and God's hope and life. If you don't have those people, it's going to be tough. You need them. And you need to know that God is speaking to you. Maybe right now in this moment, I'm that person. And I'm telling you, God's saying to you, don't be afraid. There's more on your side than on the enemy's. Just realize that. Don't freak out. And then Elisha prayed. And listen to me, you need prayer. You need people to pray for you. When you're in the thick of it and you're freaking out because the enemy's all around and the promises and God seem to be nowhere around, you need people around you that can help you and say, don't freak out. There's more with you than against you. And then they pray for you. And Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes and let him see. When we're under attack, you need to be able to open your eyes to see what God sees, to see the truth of the situation. Man, the tactic of the enemy is to blind. Like if you can't see a situation, you can know. If like there's no clarity in that, you can know the enemy's at work because he only traffics in darkness. And if you can't see clearly what's going on, the enemy's there. And so when you're at the place where you can't see the promises of God at work, and listen to me, you're going to get there. It's going to happen. You need to have the people around you and you need to have the resolve to be able to go to both God and those people so that they can speak to you, God and the people that you know, love, and trust that love him and love you. Don't be afraid. There's more with you and against you, and that you have people that are praying for you. Lord, let them see. Let them see. Let them see. So that your eyes are open so that you can see. Elisha prays, O Lord, open his eyes. Let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes. Godly wisdom is amazing. In an abundance of counselors, that's scripture, there's victory. But it is only God that can open our eyes to see the truth of the situations in which we find ourselves when we're under attack. And you need God to open your eyes, which means you need to be willing to hear from him. You can listen to the wisdom. You need to have people praying for you. But it's God who opens your eyes and lets you see. Have faith in that. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, because he'd been looking down. Of course, he's scared. He's afraid. He can't see clearly. He's looking down. We all find ourselves in that position, and that's a surefire way to never see the truth that God has for us and to feel like his promises don't make sense or aren't being fulfilled. When he looked up, he saw the hillside around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. He saw the truth that God was at work. He just couldn't see it. And you have to know. You have to know that God's at work even when you can't see him. Even when it seems like the promises are nowhere to be found. Like God either for that matter. He's at work. He's at work. God is at work in what you can't see. So what happens next? Well, Elisha prays that just as he prayed for that young man's eyes to be open, Elisha prayed that God would blind the eyes of the enemy. And that's what happens. The whole army goes blind and you know, now the king of Israel shows up and he's like, should we kill them all? He's like, no, don't kill them all. Send them all back home. Because God's a God of peace who has a heart for people, but he has a heart for you. And if you've been at the place where you're like, yeah, I understand the promises. I thought I'd been walking in them, but all of a sudden I feel like I've been walking alone. You need to know that God is there with you. He'll open your eyes. There's more that's with you than against you. Operate in faith and not fear. Got a place for you. I want to pray for you right now. Maybe this message was for you and you felt like God's just kind of walked away from you. Listen to me, he hasn't. Maybe he's just circled back around to trap the enemy so he can't get away and you just feel like he's nowhere. He's got your back. I do too. God's got people that he'll put in your life. I pray that this message was for you. And if it was, let me pray with you. You're just saying, that's me. Well, what do you do? What do you pray? You pray a prayer of surrender and a prayer that God can let you see. So Father, I just pray right now for those that feel like you've just walked away, like the promises aren't happening. Lord, I just pray that you open their eyes to see what you see. Let them see. Jesus, may they see you at work. May you bring victory and freedom and peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if God's at work and you're doing something, let us know. Click on that button in the chat beneath. Reach out so that we can help you on this journey as you're following him to the place of promise he has for you. Love you guys. God bless. Bye.